The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio.
Coming up on the program today, we're going to talk about bugs, dealing with bugs in your garden, as well as four fruit trees you may want to consider growing. And our guest is garden professor Linda Chalker Scott will be with us and will answer your garden questions. The hour is full, so join us.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
And welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Happy you've taken time out of your day to join us on the program. Whether you're listening to us on one of the 20 AM and FM frequencies broadcasting our program here in 2023 through a radio app, through our parent website, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener, vegetablegardener.com, the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener.com. Under the Season 7 tab at the top of the page, through in-studio video replay or podcast replay, we thank you very much for being with us. I am your host, Joy Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as preserving what you grow. If you want to be part of the program, you can certainly do such. In addition to listening, you can give us a call toll-free coast-to-coast on our hotline at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469. Or you can send us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Well, let's get into the program.
All right. Bugs in your garden. Dealing with bugs in your garden.
Yeah, bugs are a pest.
Good and bad. There are good and bad.
Yeah.
And we'll start this off with, yes, there are chemicals in which you can go buy at your independent garden center or big box store that says we'll kill XYZ bug. However, some of those chemicals that you're using to kill that bug that you don't want is eradicating all life form in your garden.
Yeah, it comes at a cost, and not just a cost of the bottle. A lot of times, if you read, it is oftentimes all or nothing in a way.
Non-discriminatory.
Yeah, non-discriminatory. So that means it can be killing bad bugs and good bugs. So the biggest thing to keep in mind is knowing what that product is going to do, plus what it could do.
Well, not only just what it can do to the bug, what it would do to you or what it is doing to you when you're ingesting the fumes or the powder.
Absolutely. And a lot of these have that disclaimer on the bottle, but people don't always read them.
And organic doesn't always mean non-chemical. Organic products are chemical products, but they are chemical products that are made safer.
Yeah, I would guess I would call it safer, but a lot of them, even if it says organic, it will say, you know, to wear like a mask or cover your skin or wash your skin or wear goggles, things like that, because they still can have an adverse effect.
It's still doing something. If it wasn't doing anything, it would just be water in a bottle and you'd be spritzing it on the plant and you'd still have the same problem. So there has to be some level of toxicity or oomph behind it, whether it is chemical or organic chemical based. So let's get into several of these, Holly. Neem oil is...
Well, let's first talk about what's called a trap plant.
Okay, let's go, yeah.
Or an artificial or a sacrificial plant.
Okay.
So a lot of times this might be a plant that you plant on purpose to distract the bugs, or it might be a plant that just happens to distract the bugs that is already there.
And this can be anything, an additional pepper plant, an additional squash plant, weeds that you've left, or specific type of greens that you grow in order to attract the insects instead of getting to the intended plant in which you're wanting to harvest.
Right. And so... this has become, I don't want to say it's become more popular, but I feel
more
like
aware.
Yeah, more aware. It's almost, it's not a buzzword because I feel like buzzwords are, I don't know, trendy and of the moment. But I think people are just becoming more aware of this concept and utilizing it, which is awesome because it's very helpful.
Alternatives to chemicals, by the way, nature has intended allowed us to utilize some of the techniques in which nature has been doing for beginning of time.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have those, and then we have neem oil. And neem oil is something that has been around for a long time. I would say over the past few years, people have kind of caught wind of it, are utilizing it more, finding out the benefits. There's a lot of your, I guess, more YouTube gardeners using it. And ourselves, we did use it on our dwarf citrus tree. Unfortunately, that tree was too far gone by the time we got to the point. But
For the scale,
yeah. But it is a thing. So neem oil is made out of many components, but it is made from the neem seed. And the technical name is azadirachtin, and it's very active. So the way it works is it reduces insect feeding and acts as a repellent, basically. And so it interferes with the insect hormone systems, making it harder for the insects to grow and lay eggs. Basically, it makes the insects stop producing, and then also it makes their appetite cease.
Diminishes their appetite.
Yeah.
And that can be purchased at many places, natural food stores, independent garden centers. And it can be applied directly on the plant. There's not any bad things about applying it to the plant itself.
So you want to get the cold pressed neem oil, and sometimes you'll go to the garden center and it'll show neem oil. This has neem oil in it, and it doesn't have the cold press. It just has the residual.
The keyword.
Yeah, so it'll say like residual or...
keyword cold press.
Something like that. If you go to the garden center, they might have cold press there. You just have to look or ask. But again, I got ours, the cold press, from the organic food store. I'm sure you can buy it online many places. You can buy most things online at this point. It's important that it is the cold press, and you can water it down with some soap, but if you do that, the batch will only last for about 24 hours. So you want to make sure you batch it out kind of properly.
Okay. And go ahead.
Neem oil is highly effective, and I just want to talk about it a little bit here.
Yes.
It's also important because it doesn't hurt the bad bugs, or the good bugs, I mean. So it doesn't hurt the pollinators. Basically,
it's selective.
It is selective. So you have to, whatever is eating your plants is what it's going to affect. Pollinators don't eat the plants. They pollinate them. And the other thing is that they are also, neem oil is very friendly to earthworms because it doesn't harm your soil. And it's because of how it comes from like a neem cake, which is not harmful for the soil. So you don't have to worry about that. And then another thing about neem oil is they are recognized to be non-toxic by the EPA, and so it does not harm birds, mammals, bees, and plants. And it's mostly for Japanese beetles, other beetle larvae, leafhopper, spider mites, thrips, and aphids. And then you do want to apply it at dusk, and then apply every 7 to 10 days to kind of help it boost.
Okay, and you can just there's not a specific neem oil brand in which we recommend. We do not have a neem oil sponsor, but we want to bring this information to you. So some pests you may have to remove by hand, like the Colorado potato beetle. Some people choose to remove Japanese beetles. You can use the Rescue Japanese Beetle Trap from Rescue.com. That is a very effective trap. You want to put that in the corner of your yard, not in the midst of the problem, because you're going to lure them to the problem. There's pheromones in that trap. If you lure them to the problem, you're going to bring everybody to the party. You want to put it in the corner to bring everybody away from the infestation. You will lure them away.
To their own party.
To their own party of death. Aphids, you can use soapy water. You can blast it with a hose. You can use a pump sprayer and remove the aphids that way. Or you can actually remove specific leaves in which the aphids have overtaken and dispose of them properly to get rid of them that way, and then start applying the soapy water to the aphids on the plants that they are infecting. So when using toxic pesticides, you got to think of the impact. You got to read the label. The labels are there not for entertainment purposes or recreation. They're there for specific and important information to tell you, hey, this is intended for this particular pest, and here are the 92.5 side effects that it can have on everything else in your garden and your health.
And I think, especially if you have children, you want to think about this as well, or pets or whatever who goes through your garden, and they are right at that level.
Right. Well, I was in the garden last week, and I smelt this horrible smell, and it reminded me of the drift of Roundup on the farm. That's what we sprayed on the crops after they got planted, the field to kill the weeds. And I smelled this horrible thing. A block and a half away, there was a white truck that has a spray that treats the lawn, and it was drifting across the neighborhood with this horrible – and it's a little sign that says, don't get on the lawn for 48 hours, kids or pets, because it's toxic, whatever. He was spraying the lawn, and there's so many chemicals that are very harmful and have been proven to lead to sickness, and we keep using that kind of stuff on our lawn. So keep that in mind. Natural is better when it comes to lawn care.
The other thing is that does affect the soil.
It toxifies the soil. So that's what is happening in neighborhoods all over the country at this time of year. Those trucks are coming in and spraying that stuff at your work, on your lawn, on your neighbor's lawn, and it's drifting. So be aware of that. Also, be aware of our sponsor that's brought to you today is Walton's Incorporated.
Yeah, Walton's Inc. We know you care about where your food comes from. Canning, preserving your fruits and vegetables is great, but what about the meat? At Walton's, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people actually like? Walton's has meatgistics.com, an informational site to help you get the best finished product. Walton's even has a full line of their own grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, and more to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's, everything but the meat. You can use code GROW50 to save 10% off of orders of $50 or more.
When we come back, for fruit trees you should consider growing on your property. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Grip 6 produces American-made products with sleek designs and quality materials. Based and manufactured in Utah, they have high-quality and durable products to last a lifetime. They are built beyond tough. The wallets are low-profile, made out of high-quality aluminum, and options to upgrade. Access your cards and cash without bulk. Guaranteed to last a lifetime, it's the last wallet you'll ever need. Your traditional wallet is big and bulky and not easy to access the cards you need conveniently. Grip 6 has a quick array access for your cards. You can also add money bands for cash, more cards, business cards, and more. Variable capacity for minimalist or maximalist. Lightweight, sleek, and no wallet bulk in your pocket while gardening, working outside, or enjoying the great outdoors. Designed and manufactured in-house for best results and quality every time. When you purchase from Grip 6, you're supporting long life cycle products and American-made manufacturing. Check out their belts, wallets, and socks at grip6.com. Use code RADIO15 to save 15% off at grip6.com. Overwatering is the top reason why houseplants are dying. Tree Diaper solves this problem by absorbing excess water up from the soil. It will store water and use it when the soil dries. Use Garden15 to save 15% at treediaper.com. Deer Defeat is an all-natural based animal repellent to keep deer and rabbits away from your valuable plants that is odorless after 30 minutes and dries clear. It creates a continuous, invisible shield to protect your plants. Works for 30 days through rain, snow, and freeze. Will not clog your sprayer. Apply to your property without environmental damage. You can spray directly onto your plants up to flowering, then apply around your plants to continue protection. No need to reapply. Money back guarantee. To purchase, go to deerdefeat.com and use coupon code RADIO to save 10% off your order. Aqua-mart.com has everything you need for eye-pleasing outdoor water features on your property. For over 25 years, we've been creating and field testing beautiful water features in order to provide you with the most reliable products and best value in the industry. From easy-to-install pond and water-filled kits to pumps, fish food, and more, you'll find everything you need to install and maintain a naturally balanced water feature in your yard. Make your backyard a true oasis and maintain it well. Visit aqua-mart.com to shop for all your needs.
Spring, the season of renewal, an unexpected house guest, none the worse perhaps than ants. And I'm not talking about great Aunt Mabel. When you need to get rid of ants fast, you need Rescue Ant Baits. Rescue Ant Baits are pre-baited, child-resistant, and ready to use right out of the box. No sticky liquid, no mess. Made in the USA by the makers of the popular Rescue Fly and Yellow Jacket traps. Learn more at rescue.com. That's RESCUE.com.
Dripping Springs Oya's clay pot irrigation solves the watering needs for gardens, bushes, new trees, and more. An ancient irrigation system we brought to America. Dripping Springs Oya's, OLLAS, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Check us out.
When I commit to someone, I want them to commit back to me for, you know, life. That's why I love Verlo Mattress. When you buy a Verlo, you get something nobody else offers, a commitment to helping you love your sleep for as long as you own your mattress with a lifetime comfort guarantee. Those other places, you get a measly 60, 90, maybe 120 nights. Not even close, guys. Wake up, sleep better, Verlo.
Fleet Farm's Garden Center is now open. Stop in to check out their selection of nursery-quality plants available at low prices. All of their plants are grown in the Midwest, and their vegetables are insecticide-free. Choose from annuals, perennials, shrubs, trees, and more. Plus, take care of your lawn with grass seed fertilizers, lawnmowers, and string trimmers. Get everything you need to keep your yard looking great at Fleet Farm, your lawn and garden headquarters.
The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following. Happy Leaf LED, Root Maker, Jung Seeds, Tree Hugger Sprinklers, Verlo Mattresses, Farmers Defense, Pomona Universal Pectin, Natural Green Products, Mantis Tillers. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Four fruit trees that you may want to consider just a few seconds away. But first, a message from our good friends of Farmers Defense.
Farm and garden in the ultimate comfort. Farmers Defense has lightweight and durable sleeves made to protect you against the elements while farming. Farmers sleeves offer unparalleled protection.
Gardening,
arms,
too.
Yeah, of arms and skin for any farmer, gardener, or outdoor worker. Say goodbye to irritated skin and sunburns in the garden. Their sleeves offer cooling comfort and protection against the elements outdoors. An alternative to thick clothing, Farmers Defense is made of wicking material with UBF protection factor of 50+ to protect you from the allergens and scratches. To find all their great products and more, you can visit farmersdefense.com.
On the farm, in the garden, on the construction site, they have a product for you to make your environment, your personal environment, more comfortable and enjoyable to get the job done right.
Well, Joey.
Yes.
Let's talk about fruit trees.
Fruit trees. Yes. Okay.
What's that story about the tree? You want to grow a tree today or tomorrow or next year? When's the best time to plant a tree?
The best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago. The next best time is to plant a tree now. And blessed is the man who plant or woman who plants a tree but never sees it grow.
Yeah.
That's a proverb of some sort.
Yeah.
Did I
throw you off?
No.
So
a lot of people think fruit trees, that's a southern thing. Fruit trees, it's got to be warm, which it is true for certain fruit trees, yes.
For certain ones, yeah. And
surprised here. We've got some that they'll handle down to zone 3.
So we're going to start with apple, which seems the most obvious, and it is. And everybody, you know, loves an apple tree. And unless maybe you don't like apples, then I guess you don't. But they do.
We'll still be friends with you.
They do take normal, like regular apple trees take 5 to 10 years to bear fruit.
Right.
So that is, you got to have some patience there. But the dwarf varieties can bear it three years.
And there's some varieties that are sweet and some varieties which are very bitter, or what they call crab apple and or like apple pie trees where.
Like you, Granny Smith.
Yeah. You can't eat them. But
right.
You put them in an apple pie, boom, you're good.
Yeah.
So dwarf varieties, 3 years, and there are certain varieties that will go down to zone 3. That is incredibly cold in the winter.
It is very cold. And so the biggest thing to take away from this is to whatever you're growing, whatever you want to grow, is to go to your local nursery.
Yes.
Because they're going to have the proper varieties they're going to have knowledge. Okay, like if you're like, okay, I have this spot here and I want to grow one tree, then there are some varieties that you do need two trees.
And to pollinate. Right.
So if you just want one tree, then they will provide you with that or give you guidance.
Correct. There are trees in which will self-pollinate. There are other trees that you need two. And there are some trees that are in HOAs, like I think it's a cherry tree that produces the blossoms but does not produce fruit because it is not allowed in certain HOAs. But you're allowed to have the flowers, but you can't have the fruit.
Of course.
HOA, that's a whole other show that we'll never have because we will never be allowed to have another show once we get done talking about HOAs. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that's not our problem.
Pear trees. Yeah. We had one in our yard for a number of years until it ceased to exist because I think it was just age. Nobody knew when it was planted and nobody knew how long, but it was about 50 plus years old.
It had to be that old at least. So anyway, so pear trees are fun because they are, maybe you don't like apples, but you like pears, and they also are hardy down to zone 3, some of them, and they take a little bit less time, 3 to 7 years to bear fruit. And they produce really well. They do a good job. They're typically sweet. I don't think there's like bitter pears.
I do know that if you are in an area in which you have wildlife, such as black bear, that you would want to kind of strategically place your fruit trees in a place where it may not be as close to the house as you would typically want, because certain times of the year, bears are looking for food. And if you are in an area, not so much suburbia, but more urban, bears will come up and
rural.
Yeah. They will come up and nest under the tree and eat. And if you don't want them near your residence, you would want to have the orchard farther away. So that's your handy, helpful bear tip for the day. So down to zone 3, local nursery is the best place. There are some good online retailers that can sell fruit trees to get what you want, where you want it, for the right purpose. So you have some variety there.
Yeah. You want to do your research, and just because you can buy it online and get it shipped to your house doesn't mean it's going to work out for you.
Right.
Yeah.
So Jung Seeds has a variety of different fruit trees, and you can use coupon code TG23, that's 10TG23, to save 10% off your orders at junkseeds.com. I've butchered that. Let's do that again. Coupon code for all of you who are keeping track, 10TG23 at junkseed.com, in order to get your fruit trees there if you want to go that route. But you want to do your research. Just don't grab or click on the first thing you see. You have to read the descriptions, just like many things in life, so you make fewer mistakes. So you're not making casual, comical mistakes, that you have done your research.
I don't know if planting the wrong tree is a comical mistake. I think you and I would find it funny.
Well, yeah. Oh, we clicked on the first three because they were on sale and we got them for 59% off, and none of them are suitable for our zone.
Right, right. All right, so let's talk
What's our next one?
Peaches,
okay.
Now, this is a lot. I think this is shocking to a lot of people that you can grow peaches in a colder climate, because people think about like
cold hours.
Yeah, and then think about Georgia, right?
Georgia peaches, yeah.
Georgia peaches, things like that. And
Think
about the South.
Right. There are, and with all of these trees, there is what is called chill hours or cold hours. There is a certain amount of cold hours either needed or that are needed in order to properly, like garlic needs to be in the ground for so many cold hours from fall to spring in order to bulb correctly. Fruit trees need a certain amount of chill hours. There are certain fruit trees that have been through university campuses, university horticultural departments, that have been created by science to be able to accept those cold or chilled hours. And there are some that can't have only but a certain number, and those are the more southern, and the ones in the north is the more chilled hours. So the peaches can be grown in the north and can be grown fairly successfully.
Right. And that's something to to know there is a bunch of varieties here. It's not like you're going to remember any of these, but there's like Canadian Harmony, Glowhaven, Reliance, Contender, Madison, Intrepid, and Blushing Star, and then also another one called Red Haven. And these take about 3 to 4 years to produce after planting. The harvest time is going to be midsummer to late summer mm-hmm. for the zone 3-4-ish trees, as opposed to, I think, the other ones that are more hardy is like a July-ish harvest time. More cool, warm weather.
Right.
Yeah. And then there are dwarf varieties.
So you can do the any dwarf variety you can do in a container and then bring it in acclimatized environment over the winter to keep it alive if it's not suitable for the zone in which you are in. But peaches may be a great addition to your backyard. And just like many of these other ones, you may have to, I'm not familiar, I think most of them you're going to have a pollinating, you're going to have two of them in order to pollinate. Now, cherries, we have a cherry bush, but there are cherry trees.
Right. That's, isn't that George Washington that cut down a cherry tree?
I don't think he cut down anything. I think the story was very, very blown out of proportion.
You think it was like one of the stories that parents tell their kids to yeah. keep them honest? Yeah.
No, don't do that. Otherwise, the tree will fall on you or something. You know, it's right. one of these terrible things that we've every generation has added to it and just gotten so out of whack that there's no truth to it whatsoever.
All right. So we have a cherry bush, and is it ever going to produce?
It's produced, but the birds get to it. Now, it's bitter.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a tart cherry.
It's a tart cherry, and that's what you need to be aware of, is the zone 4 or 5 are more tart than the sweeter varieties in the warmer climates.
Yeah.
So you want to be aware of that you don't think you're just going to get this wonderful, beautiful, sweet cherry tree if you are in central Minnesota.
And then there's those other cherries, the rainier cherries,
yes.
rainier, that grow in a more wet climate like the Pacific Northwest. Mm-hmm. So there's that too. But anyway, cherries go down to zone 4 and 5, and then as you go up in the zones, they get sweeter. And this is something that takes about 3 years to establish and then would bear fruit in the 4th year.
Like asparagus.
And, yeah, they can produce up to 30 to 50 quarts of fruit in a season. So you would get a bunch of cherries.
Now, with all of these, and we've all heard these stories about orchards that are around, with all of these, if you don't get a late frost and they don't have buds on it when the frost happens, then you get the proper amount of water if you're not using the tree diaper or the water tree hugger sprinkler. There's a lot of variables in order to get that 30 to 50 quarts of fruit a season because that weather, that frost, is we get these late frosts and these things have already budded. And then these orchards are, and we've seen it run, you know, helicopters. They put bonfires to keep the warmth in so they don't freeze the buds off. So 4 fruit trees in which you may want to grow in your, consider apple, pear, peach, and cherry that you may not have known can be grown in your cold climate. Well, Holly, it is going to be warming up soon. Some portions of the country, it's already warm. We're still fighting it here in southeast Wisconsin, where the show originates from. And when that warmth happens, Japanese beetles and grubs are something that you're going to be fighting with.
With spring just around the corner, it's time to start thinking about controlling beetles and grubs in your garden yard. Spring's here.
Yes.
But with warmth. Warmth, hopefully.
Grub Gone can be applied to the turf or garden around ornamentals to control grubs and lessen the impact that beetles have on your yard this summer. Easy to apply with any commercial spreader or irrigate it right into the soil. Biological that specifically targets grubs and beetle invaders without harming the beneficial insects like bees, butterflies, and ladybugs.
And it's the only non-chemical.
Non-chemical, yes, right.
You want to find out more? You can go to phylumbioproducts.com. That's phylom bioproducts.com.
When we come back, garden professor Linda Chalker Scott will be with us. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Wind River Chimes creates a symphony in any space. Chimes that are inspired by nature and designed to make the natural world even more inspiring. Music speaks to everyone. Individually handcrafted in Virginia for over 35 years and hand-tuned for an exceptional precision and lasting beauty. Because in life, the winds of change are always moving. But no matter where they carry you, Wind River Chimes will always be the inspiring harmony. With a large selection of customization options, you will find the sound that soothes you. Visit windriverchimes.com to shop and find out more.
Jung Seed Company is a family-owned and operated gardening company since 1907, with the largest selection of seeds and plants online. Use coupon code 10TG23 to receive 10% off your order at jungseeds.com. Again, that coupon code is 10TG23.
Dig planting holes from a comfortable standing position. Step, twist, pull, and plant. Visit ProPlugger.com. Garden like a pro in three easy steps and receive customized fertilizer recommendations for your garden or lawn. Soil Savvy helps you determine what nutrients your plants need to thrive. Never again overapply nutrients they don't need. A patented process that makes you a smart gardener. To get your soil test kit, go to MySoilSavvy.com.
Tree Hugger sprinklers are the ultimate watering device for either your newly planted or established trees and shrubs. Our sprinklers open and close around the trunk of your tree and provide 360 degrees of watering. With our adjustable valve, you can direct the water to your tree's targeted saturation zone. They come in three sizes, 7, 11, and 15 inches. You can purchase a Tree Hugger sprinkler at your local garden center, feed store, or hardware store. Go to treehuggersprinklers.com to find a retailer close to you. Or you can buy it directly from Amazon or treehuggersprinklers.com. If you're an independent nursery, garden center, hardware store, or feed store, you will want to stock this product. Contact the good people at Tree Hugger Sprinklers and they will get you set up. Your tree's best friend. TreeHuggerSprinklers.com. Rootmaker starts your plants off right and keeps them going through harvest. From their seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots to their large variety of grow bags, 1 to 60 gallons, their products will provide you the harvest you've never seen before. Visit Rootmaker. And use coupon code RADIO23 to save 15% off your order at rootmaker.com. The Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Aqua-Mart, Soil Savvy, Wind River Chimes, Wisconsin Greenhouse Company, Pro Plugger, Deer Defeat, Dripping Springs Oyas, Phylum Bioproducts. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Moments away, garden professor Linda Chalker Scott. But first, Rise Gardens, Holly.
Rise Gardens is a revolutionary hydroponic gardening system for your home. Instead of food traveling hundreds or even thousands of miles before it hits your plate, harvest the veggies, herbs, and greens you need for dinner tonight in the comfort of your home. No green thumb required knowledge. Gardening made easy with the Rise Gardens app, step-by-step guidance from seed to harvest. A complete garden on a shelf and comes with everything you need to grow healthy and the freshest food for you and your loved ones. Fully customize your garden to your needs and preferences. For more information and get your Rise Garden, visit risegardens.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Linda Chalker Scott is a professor and urban horticulturist. She runs the Garden Professor's blog as well as hosts the Inform Gardeners podcast. Welcome to the program, Linda.
Well, thank you, Holly and Jody. I'm enjoying being here.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day, not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. And I'll start with this question for you. Many people might know what a horticulturist is, but maybe not an urban horticulturist. Can you explain or tell us more about what you do?
Sure. Well, a lot of my colleagues work on crop plants. I don't. I work on ornamentals, and plants are used in home gardens, and that's what really kind of focuses urban. It doesn't necessarily mean a city. It just means not focusing on crop production.
Okay.
So anybody who has a gardener landscape, that's what I focus on, and as well as, you know, public parks and arboreta and things like that.
So you're the person that tells the landscapers don't put the mulch up next to the bark of the tree.
Yes, if I catch them doing that, I will say something.
Oh, you wouldn't believe how many professional landscapers, and you've seen them in your area, where they are like, oh yeah, this is how you do it. That's not how you do it.
Yep. It's there's a lot of lore out there, and so my mission is to spread the science.
People don't like when you tell them that they're wrong when it comes to gardening stuff.
No, they do not. a lot of people, though, do really want to know the good science, correct. And so that's what I really focus on. But yeah, there is pushback. You're right.
Like I've told Holly, out of the population, you're looking at 8 to 10% of people that are just certified jerks. It doesn't matter what you do; they're just angry all the time. So.
And gardening is like the opposite of being angry.
Well, true.
People should just garden more.
True.
I couldn't agree more. So your blog recently talked about sheet mulch. We love mulch. Can you tell us more about sheet mulching and the benefits and what it is and all that good stuff?
Okay. Well, just to clarify, what I consider sheet mulch is anything that's a two-dimensional mulch. So this could be fabric or plastic or cardboard or newspaper, you know, something that is – you know, two dimensions. And in contrast to that, I always recommend using chunky mulches or three-dimensional mulches, things like wood chips, or if people didn't want organic, you could do stone or something like that. But that's kind of the difference. And the main reason that the difference is important is because that structure is what determines how easily water and oxygen can get into the soil.
Right. And people, we get the question, well, can I just use landscaping fabric? Well, the porous is the object word here, because if it's not porous enough, you're going to have a bunch of dead plants.
Well, and the funny thing is that after about 30 seconds out on the soil, it's not going to be porous at all.
Yeah.
Because what happens is all those pores get filled up with soil, and then it's just like plastic at that point.
And natural is much, much nicer, and it is designed to be porous.
Exactly.
So with that being said, do you have a preference for mulch that you like to use and is kind of universal?
You know, I do. And it isn't – I'll back this up by saying that it's not possibly the best choice depending on where you live. For instance, if you're in a desert environment where you've got plants that are adapted to very dry conditions, my choice isn't going to be the best. But – if you're growing trees and shrubs, which even people in desert environments want trees and shrubs, the best thing to use is an arborist chip mulch. And so it's that chipped up wood that comes out of the chipper when arborist comes to take some branches off or take down a tree or whatever. And that is absolutely the best mulch you can use.
All right. Well, many vegetables can be interchanged between planting from starts or by seed. What are some reasons why one might be better than the other?
And that's a really good topical question right now. I just finished buying some plants and seeds. So for my vegetable garden, because I'm in kind of a cooler part of the country, I always buy tomatoes, for instance, as starts. It just takes too long to get them to be producing size in our relatively cool climate. And so just getting starts means I get some tomatoes before the freezes come. So that's part of it, is that you're going to have something that's especially for vegetables, it's going to be productive faster. On the other hand, seeds are cheaper, and you can kind of play around if you happen to like trying to hybridize your own vegetables and see what you get from the seeds. So, I mean, they both have benefits, and it just kind of depends on, I guess, what your end product to be. So if you're looking for lots of tomatoes, I absolutely would recommend starting with starts as opposed to seeds.
And Holly and I have been doing this professionally for a number of years now, and we continue to see people start carrots from seed indoors, start radishes from seed indoors, or buy them from the garden center. And these garden centers have them available because it's a dollar sign. Regardless of the success value, it's a dollar sign, which is
absolutely
very aggravating.
Yeah.
Because they are setting you up for failure. Yeah, 9 out of 10 is not going to make it, so you're going to come back and buy more.
Yes, and that is unfortunately the way, as you say, it's a dollar sign figure, and gardening is incredibly popular and got even more so during the pandemic. So, yeah, it's something that people can see as being something to lure you in the store, and hopefully you'll buy lots, and then you'll come back after things have failed.
Definitely. So if it's still spring and chilly in many areas of the country, unfortunately still, what are some spring pruning tips and what should be pruned right now?
Well, the nice thing is that plants don't require pruning. So we prune because we want to. We have goals, or we never prune for plant health. And that's the good part, because that means you can make all kinds of decisions based on what, again, your endpoint goals are. So, for instance, I'm looking out my window right now, and we just finally got a couple days of over 70 degree weather last week. So I'm looking at my hydrangeas, which I still need to deadhead. And I'm looking at some apple trees that I didn't quite get around to getting all pruned up. And I'll probably just go out there and clean it up as I have time. So it really depends on, you know, it's aesthetics a lot of the time. Sometimes it's pruning for a view. Sometimes it's pruning because you want a formal design. I mean, there's all kinds of things to do. But as long as the temperatures aren't going to get below 40, you're fine to prune now. The problem is if you get between that, you know, everyone knows not to prune if it's going to freeze. But once you get below 40, you can start causing some chilling damage to things that have been recently pruned.
Right. For professional, if someone is newly constructed home or established raw land, what are some plants, shrubs that are foolproof that you can just throw in and really feel like, hey, I'm not going to kill this?
Well, you could always go with some things that tend to be fairly aggressive, you know, things like poplars and willows, things that are pretty fast growing, establish roots quickly, but those aren't really very ornamental. And rather than that, what I suggest to people is when they've got, you know, that crappy soil left from construction, is that just kind of be patient initially. Best thing to do is to top dress that soil with a nice thick coat of wood chips, and the wood chips are going to the soil more friable, improve its tilth, and in the meantime, you can go buy some plants, really anything you'd like, and you know, within a few weeks, that soil is going to be loosened up enough so that you can go ahead and plant things. And then you just leave that wood chip mulch on there. It improves the soil very quickly, as opposed to just leaving it bare to the elements, especially when it's a really poor soil to begin with.
Would you recommend fertilizing, adding fertilizer or some type of supplement in that hole with that bad soil that the mulch is now trying to improve, or just put it in the ground and let nature take its course?
You know, the other thing you can, that's a good point. The other thing you can do is at the same time do a soil test, because I never recommend adding any fertilizer except probably nitrogen without a soil test. There's just too many instances where you've got excess nutrients, and when you add more fertilizer, you just make the problem worse. The easiest thing to do is just dig the hole, get the plants loosened up out of their root ball. What goes in the hole is what came out of it, the soil, and then the plant roots, mulch and water. And mulch and water are probably the two biggest miracle products in gardening.
And you've seen it, and we've seen it, where people plant trees incorrectly. They go, well, the tree, I'm going to put it all good compost in around the root ball, because that means the tree's going to have all the nutrients it needs. And that actually is the detriment to trees, by not letting the native soil be around the roots and let it do its natural thing.
That's absolutely right. And so we have to remember that our goal for planting trees is, or shrubs, is to get the roots in touch with the native soil as quickly as possible. And the more barriers you have between the roots and the native soil, the harder it is for the plant to get established. So leaving bald and burlap things intact in a ball with the burlap and the twine and possibly even a wire basket, those just make it that much harder for the trees to get established, if they ever do.
Right. The tree gets choked out and suffocates.
Well, the roots just can't get out.
Right.
And so they circle around, and then the tree outgrows its root system and
falls on your house. Then,
yep. That's not a good thing.
Right.
Yeah, trees falling in your house are something you probably want to avoid.
Absolutely.
So do you, you know, taking things from a scientific perspective, do you have a garden myth that is like just a cringe to you, or your favorite garden myth, or you're like, I don't want to talk about this garden myth anymore, anything like that?
You know, I have to say, and this is based on the blog and our Facebook group, and just what comes up the most often in terms of being something that's really contentious. And I have to say, it's cardboard mulch and lasagna gardening. That is just something that will not die in terms of people just really believing that's the best way to prepare soil and plant things. And I try to tell people, okay, well, the cardboard and lasagna mulch aside, let's just think one sheet of newspaper that's wet that you put across your face. How easily can you breathe through that one sheet of wet newspaper?
Right.
And then multiply that by cardboard and compost, and this all layered on top of a living soil, and you're just causing all kinds of problems for the things that live in that soil, from beneficial microbes to earthworms to plant roots. So that's probably my biggest gripe, is this persistence on using cardboard and lasagna gardening.
We get the pine needles make your soil acidic. That's what we're going to use. Pine needles. Don't use pine needles. They'll ruin your soil. We get that one over and over again as well.
So I have to tell you, I have to tell you a funny one. My friend was helping in her HOA. They were planting tomato plants, and whoever was leading this said to put a whole entire egg in the planting hole, the time of planting with the tomato.
Put the tomato on top of it.
And I guess she asked this person, she's like, shouldn't we crunch it up? They're like, no, just put the whole egg in there. And I hope wherever these plants are, nobody is too close to them, because...
Oh, maybe you want them to be real close to somebody.
Because she lives in, I think, in North Carolina or something. Oh. And I'm sure after a few days, it probably did not smell pretty near the plants.
Oh, I imagine. Or something's going to dig it up and eat it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Linda, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered. How can people find your blog, find your books? How can we navigate the World Wide Web and get a hold of you?
Easiest way is one of two things. If you Google garden professors and do that in quotation marks, so it's one, you know, one phrase, garden professors, you can find our blog, and you can also find the Facebook group and page. And the other way to find, for instance, my podcast and other things that I've developed over the last couple decades is to Google The Informed Gardener. Again, all one phrase, and you'll go right to my university page that has all of my white papers and other things.
Well, Linda, thank you very much for your time and the knowledge that you've shared with all of us to getting us back to gardening the correct way.
You bet. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. And when we come back, it's Your Garden Questions, Our Garden Answers. You're tuned in to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
Chapin has the tools for planting your garden and keeping it growing all season long. Whether your garden is big or small, Chapin has sprayers and spreaders for fertilizing, weed and pest control, watering and seeding. You can find Chapin products at your local hardware store, big box retailer. You may visit them also online at chapinmfg.com to learn more and buy online. Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardeners, farms, landscaping, and more. To find our products nearest you, visit blueribbonorganics.com. We know that you appreciate the value of a beautifully landscaped yard, but tackling such a project yourself can seem way too complicated, right? Bloomin' Easy Plants are the answer. Their plants are low maintenance and offer exceptional beauty and color for your yard. Plus, they offer free seasonal care reminders with simple how-to videos tailored to the plants that you choose. With Bloomin' Easy on your side, creating the yard that you've always wanted becomes as easy as plant, water, and relax. Check them out at your local garden center or by visiting bloomineasyplants.com.
Are you bugged by bugs? You need naturally green products, no more bugs, environmentally friendly, made in the USA. No More Bugs is a cedar blend that repels and eliminates mosquitoes, ticks, fleas, roaches, ants, and more. No More Bugs is safe for you, your pets, and plants. Visit nomorebugs.net for free shipping on orders over $50. Use code FREESHIP for me. Make watering easy. DripWorks provides quality drip irrigation supplies and equipment to gardeners just like you for all your growing needs across the U.S. and Canada. Purchase online at DripWorks.com. Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online. Mantis Tillers, the premium long-lasting gas-powered tillers, are the perfect solution for any garden. This Mantis machine is available with 2 or 4 cycle engines with a 19-inch or 16-inch tilling width. Your DIY companion in your garden and your lawn converts easily for edging, aerating, and more with optional attachments. Find details at Mantis.com.
The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following. DripWorks.
Rise Gardens, Grip Six, Bloomin' Easy, Fleet Farm, Walton's Incorporated, Blue Ribbon Organics, Tree Diaper. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly Radio Show. Thank you for being part of the program today. Time for garden questions and answers. Your questions and our answers. If you've got a question, send it on over to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call on the hotline toll-free coast to coast. That number is 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-7469.
All right, so this question is sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com. On the fertilizer bag, what does 11-11-11 mean as opposed to 7-7-7? So I want to preface this by saying that it's NPK, so it's nitrogen,
phosphorus,
and
potassium.
Potassium, thank you.
phosphorus or potash. Yeah, it's interchangeable.
Potassium. So that's what like the three numbers mean.
And it's the same on any bag anywhere in the world.
It's universal.
Yes.
Yep. So 11-11-11 versus 7-7-7 means just higher present of each element in that bag. So for vegetables in the northern part of the United States, nothing more than 10-10-10 is needed. I mean, you're like just because you buy 11-11-11, that's okay. You can do that. But if it's like 15, 35, 86, it's not going to make a huge deal. You're going to over fertilize.
Yeah. And you said that one was sponsored by Fleet Farm and FleetFarm.com, didn't you?
Yep.
All righty. Next question, Holly.
Do you line them with landscape fabric?
Raised beds.
Oh, raised beds. Okay. Yep. That's where the question came from. Okay.
No, we do not layer them with landscape fabric because the porous, you got to have porous. And we talked to Linda Chalker Scott in the last segment. The porous, you need interaction with the ground. Now, if you're on a solid surface, pavement and or concrete, you could use that to try to filter and keep some of the soil in the raised bed. But many of us who are gardening in raised beds are utilizing it on some type of native material, the ground, the soil, something like that. So, no, I would layer two pieces of cardboard at very most, just to, if you've got a really bad weed problem, if you've just got native grass, put the soil on top of it and be done with it. If you do have the problem of thistles or dandelions or anything like that, that are aggressive and will grow through 8, 9, 12 inches of compost you've put on top of it until you continue to remove them and stress them out or spray them with an organic weed killer, like from natgreenproducts.com. You can just put the bed right on the ground and go with it. So there's nothing wrong with that. I would avoid those landscape fabrics in the landscape or under the bed. All right, many vegetables, Holly, can be that's the wrong question there. Here we go. Can I buy worms and add them to my raised bed, my containers, or my garden? I don't think I have enough worms.
No. So you want to, okay, so raised beds and containers, you are putting, hopefully, a good compost, a good potting soil mix, a good raised bed mix in there. You don't have to worry about the worms circulating around that soil, breaking it down.
You're going to get worm eggs in that anyway.
Yeah.
They're going to be there because of that's just what's in the soil.
You are going to end up with worms in there, typically, especially raised beds. They will travel into your raised beds. So no, you don't want to add worms, and not just because of that reason, but also because worms will find their home where they need to, right?
Yes.
So they will naturally come in, especially your regular garden. They'll find a home there. If you have good organic matter, they know how to look for it. They're going to come find it. Then they will control their own population. They won't overpopulate themselves. If you purchase worms and introduce them, it could cause problems. Those worms could die. They could scare the other worms off. They could not populate properly. And so you want to kind of work with your ecosystem naturally as opposed to introducing a foreign worm into a foreign ecosystem.
Right. So years ago, we had in-ground garden before we transitioned to raised beds, and we did a test, one cubic foot of soil should contain approximately 9 to 12 worms. We had 23. Now, that has, you know, since we transitioned to the raised beds, we've been adding, we put good compost in those beds, and worms have made their way up. Now, we don't have that population. I think in the native soil we do, but they, worms come and go as they need. And by introducing leaves, and how we got that population, coffee grounds, leaves, minimal soil disturbance, they came because the food was there. All right. How tall, Holly, should we – how tall should I stake my tomato plants?
I don't think there's a rule
of thumb. There's not a good answer here.
I would just keep in mind that if you think 3 feet is going to be enough, it's not. I would err on the side of taller is better. The biggest thing, though, if you only have a 3 foot tall cage and maybe you, somebody gave you cages or whatever, and that's what you have, just use those. The biggest, you want to keep the plants off the ground. Mm-hmm. So if they kind of droop over the top of the cage by the end of the season, then let it be.
Look up Florida weave.
Yeah.
It's a way in which you can plant a lot of plants. You get a couple of fence posts and you create a, you create strings for the plants to hang on, and you can make them as tall as you need them to be based on the type of fence post in which you are putting in the ground. We've had tomatoes that have been 3 foot. We've had tomato plants that have been 8 foot. And also depends on if you're growing determinate, indeterminate, or semi-determinate plants. Indeterminate or determinate are only going to get about 4 foot tall, so there's no need to have 8 foot cages. Indeterminate will grow indefinitely until you kill it or the weather kills it. So there's a lot of variables there that has to be calculated in order to figure out what is best. And then once you do that calculation and figure out what's best, then you can duplicate that year after year, purchase once, and continue to use over and over again in your garden. Holly, I saw this on the wonderful world of internet. People are transplanting radishes from inside into their containers outside.
Okay, please don't do this. You're wasting your energy. You're wasting resources, essentially. Radishes take about 30 days to grow.
Yeah, on the long end.
On the long end. So don't just put them directly into the container. They'll be fine. Don't worry about transplanting them. Don't start them inside. Just plant them in the container. By the time you go to work a few times and blink and have some weekend soccer games with your kid, you'll have radishes.
Yeah, throw a handful in the flower bed. They will germinate and be very productive very quickly. And any root crop, excluding leeks and onions, you know, just direct sow them. And many plants, you know, we started a number of tomato plants indoors, and we have a good number of them. We don't have as many as I thought we should have or needed. So we're going to plant what we have in the garden, and then we're going to do the old Holly trick when she was a little girl and just put the seed in the ground and wait and see if we get get tomatoes before frost comes.
I don't know why you don't trust it.
It does. It's counterintuitive. It's the opposite of everything that many of us who are listening have been taught. You start plants indoors and then you transplant them. You don't just put peppers, eggplants, and tomatoes in the ground outside with
a seed.
It's
not against the law. The police.
No, it's not.
The garden police are not going to come and take your garden trowel away. It's going to be okay.
Some people need their garden trowel taken away every now and then.
Like you?
Well, no, not me. I'm just saying that we all know somebody that it would be better if they just walked away. That's we baby our gardens too much.
Yeah,
we nurture it and we baby it, and then we cause more damage by trying to do what we think is better. If we just walked away, things would be a lot better and let nature take its course. And there you go. All right, Holly. Next question: planting potatoes, hill them or not?
I'm going to let you take this one because this is like one of your favorite things.
If you're growing them in a container, like a root maker grow bag, you're going to plant, you're going to put the bottom, you're going to put a couple inches of soil, and then you're going to plant your potato, and then you're going to cover it up. Raised beds, you're not going to hill in a raised bed. I've never hilled potatoes in a raised bed. Traditional ground, yeah, people will hill them. You don't have to hill the potatoes. You can plant the potatoes in good, loose, fertile soil, deep enough, 6 inches deep. And that should give you more than enough room in order for the potato to develop, put on the tubers and not get pushed up out of the soil. You still want to watch it a little bit. If you're in a container or a raised bed, not nearly as much as in the ground. People will hill the potatoes to keep them from being exposed to sun and creating the green potatoes that we are told not to eat. But if you plant them 6 to 8 inches down and just cover them up, as the plant grows, those potatoes are all going to develop at a certain depth, and they're going to be fine. So I wouldn't worry about hilling them. Now, this is one of those that it can go both ways. If all you've ever done was hill potatoes since the age of 6 and you found phenomenal success in it, continue doing it. There's no wrong way in which to do it. But hilling has a tendency of doing it every so many weeks. You're weeding as well as you're hilling the potatoes. But we've never hilled them. We've just thrown them in the ground, covered them up, and they were good. So with that being said, Holly, we are out of time, and we thank you for yours. Miss any portion of the program today or would like to revisit it, we can certainly help you out with that by you sending us an email to gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will send you a link to this program. Or you can find it on our parent website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, clicking on the 7-season tab at the top of the page. Tune in next week to the program where we'll be discussing the wonderful world of farmers markets, as well as keys to make your garden more productive. Our guest is author Angelina Ferreo. Fanny will be with us, and we'll answer more of your garden questions. So until next week, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.